Good afternoon. It is a pleasure being with you again this evening. If you would please turn in your Bibles with me to Psalm chapter 8. Psalm chapter 8. Before we get started, I just want to publicly thank you for the invite. Thank you for allowing me to minister to you God's words today. It's been a great privilege and a great honor, and your hospitality has been very heartwarming. And a special thank you to Pastor Bernard and his lovely family for your hospitality in your home this afternoon. As we begin, we're going to begin this evening in Psalm chapter 8, but we're not going to stay here. We're going to move to Exodus chapter 3. So we'll begin in Psalm chapter 8, and then we'll move on to Exodus chapter 3. And we'll begin our reading in verse 1 of Psalm chapter 8. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babies and infants you have established strength because of your foes, to still the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? You have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You have given him dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the heavens, and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Let us pause here and turn to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Our great God and Father in heaven, we come before you once again, asking that you may be with us in these next few moments as your word is read and preached. I pray and ask you, Lord, that you may be with each and every one here, that you meet each one of us where we need it, that you may speak to us this evening. Please keep our minds from any distraction, and please quiet our hearts, dear Lord, and prepare them for your word this evening. For we ask this in your Son's precious name. Amen. If you would please turn with me to Exodus chapter 3, Exodus chapter 3. And for the sake of time, I'm just going to read starting in verse 14. Starting in verse 14. I'll start at verse 13, I'll back up one. Then Moses said to God, "If I come to the people of Israel and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is his name?' what shall I say to them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And he said this to the people of Israel, "I am has sent me to you." God also said to Moses, "Say this to the people of Israel, 'The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and thus I am to be remembered throughout all generations.'" Now I'm sure that all of you would agree with me that names are important. From the very moment I walked through the door today, I've been asked what my name is. So names provide us a way of identifying a person, a place, or a thing. They help us give labels to stuff. Names are also significant because they are also the starting points for us to understand and interact with the world around us. So, for example, I mentioned Plymouth Rock. We all know what that is. That is that historical site where the pilgrims first disembarked the Mayflower. So we see that names are important. They carry meaning and they carry weight. Anyone who knows you knows your name, because your name is a gateway to know who you are. Names have substance and names have significance. Names matter. And so when it comes to God's names, we find even more significance there. God's names are significant because they are connected to who He is. God's names increase our knowledge and deepen our experience of Him. One reason God has given us His many names is because there is no one name that captures the totality of who God is. The reason we need so many names is because God cannot be fully described in His majesty and power by one name alone. One name can't fully communicate to us who God is. And so His names reveal to us different facets, different characteristics, different parts of who God truly is. And throughout Scripture, whenever God wanted to reveal a new part of His character, He often did so by revealing a new name. And we know that everyone has their view of who God is and what God looks like. And we know that in the Old Testament, God told His people not to draw or carve an image trying to depict Him, because any image of God would be a very poor description or portrait of who God is. Because His very nature, His very being cannot be conceived by our finite and limited minds. And so God has to come and tell us who He is by revealing a name of His. And so when you think of God's names, you want to think of them as pieces of a puzzle that show us different characters, different facets of who God is and what He is like. The more names we encounter of God, the more our knowledge and our standing of God deepens as we serve Him. And this evening we want to look at one name in particular. It is the name Yahweh or Jehovah. This is the name that many people are very familiar with. In fact, this name Yahweh is the most frequently used name for God in the Old Testament. It's actually used about 6,823 times. And so one could safely say that this is God's favorite name for Himself. This is God's most famous name. Because the word God can be somewhat vague and almost a little bit ambiguous, because almost every religion will say that they believe in God. But we need to know who exactly they are talking about. And so through God's names, God clarifies and shows us who He truly is. He gives us His identity. And so what we're going to do this afternoon is we're going to focus on this text here that gives us a good picture of the name of God. And so here in Exodus 3, Moses is being sent to Pharaoh. He's being sent to tell Pharaoh, "Let my people go." And Moses here comes into an experience with God, and God tells Moses what He wants him to do. And Moses is feeling very intimidated. We know the story of Moses. He had run away from Egypt. He's afraid of Pharaoh who wants to kill him. And God is telling him to go back to that place he's been running away from for 40 years. He wants to go and tell the most powerful man at that time on the planet that let God's people go. And so Moses asked God, "All right, if I go back to Egypt and I tell these people, God sent me to you, who should I say has sent me when they asked me, who sent you? Whose authority are you coming with?" And this is where we begin our passage, verse 14. When God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And He said, "Say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you." And then He ends verse 15 by saying, "This is my name forever, and thus I am to be remembered throughout all generations." And so what kind of name is this? "I am who I am has sent me to you." Well, this name is very important not only for the many times that it's used, but because here God is telling us His name. This is the holy designation of who God is. And so we want to look here in Exodus chapter 3, what it means for God to be I am who I am. What it means for God to be Yahweh. And so we want to look at a few implications this evening. So what does it mean for God to be Yahweh? Well, firstly, it means that God is unchangeable. Listen to even just how He says it. He says in verse 14, "Say to the people, I am who I am. I am has sent me to you." This tells us right from the very beginning here that God is unchangeable. God is unchanging in His being. He is unchanging in His perfections, His purposes, and His promises. Keep those promises in mind. This here is the changelessness of God. And what is also important for us to note here is that this verb I am here is not just a name. It's not just merely an attribute. What God is saying here is that this verb He's using here, which is in the present tense, is He is unchanging. I am. His being is unchanging. I was, I am, I will be. He is the same. He is unchangeable. This is very similar to the statement we find in the New Testament where we're told of the Lord Jesus Christ that He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God is unchangeable. He does not change. There is no variation or shadow of changing within Him. The prophet Malachi says in Malachi 3:6, God speaking here, "I, Yahweh, do not change." And this is really good news for us because God does not change. This is good news because if God was to become worse, that would be a very bad thing. And I say this reverently, if God was to become better, that would mean He was never good in the first place. And God is unchangeable. He is unchangeable in His goodness. He is unchangeable in His perfections. He is infinitely good. It is not possible for God to change for the worse or for the better. I am does not change. In Psalm 90 verse 2, He says, "Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world from everlasting to everlasting, you are God." And in Psalm 102 verses 25 through 27, He says, "Of old you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will remain. They will wear out like garments. You will change them like a robe, and they will pass away. But you are the same, and your years have no end." And this here is that explicit difference between things that we think to be permanent, such as the heavens and the earth on the one hand, and God on the other. This is the difference between the Creator and the creature. The creature is changeable. The creature is mutable, if you will. They change. We change. We move from moment to moment. From the time we are born, we are continually changing. We are forever changing. We're getting older. Our hair is gray, or perhaps we lose some hair. We start to get a little wrinkles here and there, but God does not go through this process. He is who He is, and He will be who He is because I am never changes. We are creatures and we change. We go from here till there, but God exists forever as the I am. God is unchangeable. He does not cease. He cannot change from what He was. He existed before the heavens were created. The Bible says, "In the beginning, God." He existed long before there was anything, and He will exist long after everything has passed away. God's character does not change. Nothing can alter the character of God. Even James says in James 1:17, speaking of the character of God, he says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. God's character does not change, even in the slightest degree. The character of God today will always be exactly what it was during the biblical times. Isaiah reminds us of this in Isaiah 46 verses 9 and on. He says, remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, from ancient times, things not yet done, saying, my counsel will stand and I will accomplish my purpose, calling a bird of prey from the east, the man of my counsel from a far country. I have spoken, I will bring it to pass. I have purposed, and I will do it. God is unchangeable. And so the name I Am, the name Yahweh, reveals to us here right from the get-go that God does not change. But the second implication we see this evening is that not only is He unchangeable, but He is self-existent. He is self-existent. And we see this firstly by His independence. God is independent. God saying that I am means that He is not a contingent being. If there is anything that is implied here and explicitly stated here, is that God is not contingent. He is the non-contingent. Everything else is a contingent being. But God, when He says, I am that I am, He is saying, in effect, that He exists within Himself. He is independent of anything because nothing contributes to His existence. You know, when we think of it, none of us in here can say that we are non-contingent. Because in order for us to be here, we had to be created. We only exist because we were preceded by our parents. And if our parents were not there, then we would not be here as well. See, I am who I am because my parents existed before me. Without them, there would be no me. We're also contingent because we depend on things that are outside of us to allow us to exist. Right now, we're seated here. I'm standing here. We are breathing oxygen. Oxygen is allowing us to be who we are. We cannot function without any oxygen. We are dependent on oxygen. We're dependent on food to be grown, animals to be raised so that we can get nourishment. Everything that exists in the material world exists because something happened. Everything that is created is contingent. But God exists because He is. And so what God is revealing to Moses here is that He is totally and absolutely independent. He exists by His own power. Nothing outside God caused Him to be created. He is I am who I am. He is complete within Himself. He is totally independent. But secondly, not only is He totally independent, He is self-sufficient. God's self-sufficiency indicates to us that He requires nothing from anyone or anything. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says in Acts chapter 17, verse 24. He says, the God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is He served by human hands as though He needed anything, since He Himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. And He made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling places, that they should seek God and perhaps feel their way toward Him and find Him. The implication is that God does not need anything from mankind. We also see this in the book of Job, where God Himself asks Job in Job 41 verse 11, it says, "Who has given to me that I should repay him?" And then the psalmist in Psalm 50 verses 10 through 12 says, "For every beast of the forest is mine, the cattle on the thousand hills. I know the birds of the hills, and all that moves in the field is mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world and its fullness are mine." God did not create mankind because He was lonely and needed fellowship. Even without creation, God would still be absolutely and infinitely self-sufficient. He is not dependent. He does not need anyone. He is self-sufficient. He sustains Himself. He has no origin. He is self-existent. He has no needs. God is the only truly independent and self-sufficient person in the universe. He is self-sufficient. But thirdly, this evening, a third implication of the name Yahweh is that God is eternal. God is eternal. This firstly means that God is timeless. God is timeless. I love how he says, after he says, "I am who I am, I am has sent me," and then he goes on to say, "The God of Abraham, who was in the past, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." God has no beginning. He has no end, or if you will, successions of moments in His own being. God is eternal. When He says, "I am," He is saying, "I am eternal." This relates to His self-existence. God has no end. God has no past. God has no future. He is eternally present. The passing of time does not add or detract from who He is. And now catch this. God has always been what He always is, and He always will be what He always is. Let me say that again. God has always been what He always is, and He always will be what He always is. He is eternal. Again, listen to Psalm 90. He says, "Lord, You have been our dwelling place in all generations before the mountains were brought forth, or ever You had formed the earth and the world from everlasting to everlasting. You are God." And similarly in Job chapter 36, verse 26, Elihu says of God, "Behold, God is great, and we know Him not. The number of His years is unsearchable." Revelation 1, verse 8, He says, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty." "I am who I am" speaks of God's continual existence. Even the Lord Jesus Christ used this word in the present tense verb when He was speaking of His existence before Abraham. He says, "Before Abraham was, I am." And that is the very reason why the Jews wanted to stone Him, because they knew He was saying that He is God. He was putting Himself in the place of God, meaning, "I am eternal. I am timeless." God said to Moses, "Say to the people of Israel, 'The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and thus I am to be remembered throughout all generations.'" God is eternal, which is the very point of His name. He is eternal. And so now we ask the question. We have these implications of God's name. So we ask the question, so what? So what's in this name of God? Well, firstly, it shows us that God is compassionate. Because we see where He reveals His name and what precedes it. Look at what God said in verses 7 through 8. He says, "Then the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and I've heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites." God is compassionate. God sees His people. God hears their cries. He is concerned about them. He feels sympathy for them. He has compassion for them. Listen to what the psalmist says in Psalm 103, verse 8 and 13. He says, "The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him." And this is a beautiful picture. Don't miss this. Because when we apply this to ourselves, this is what we see. God sees our needs. He sees our suffering. He hears our cries. God is compassionate and gracious. And secondly, what do we see? What is the implication of God's name? Well, we see that God is faithful. God is faithful. Here He reveals who He is. But look with me two chapters over in chapter 6. In chapter 6, listen to what God says here in verses 6 through 8. He says, "Say therefore to the people of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will deliver you from slavery to them. I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great acts of judgment. I will take you to be my people, and I will be your God. And you shall know that I am the Lord your God, who has brought you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will bring you into the land that I swore to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to you for a possession. I am the Lord." Look at all those "I will" statements. In just these three short verses, we see seven promises of God. I will, I will, I will. And then He ends it all by saying, "I am the Lord. I am Yahweh." What we see here at the beginning of verse 6 and midway through is that God says His name. "Here is my name. Here is the greatness of my name. And I will do this. I will be faithful to the promise I made to your father. I am faithful to my promises. The promise I gave to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I am faithful to what I said I will do." He promises liberation. He says, "I will bring you out. I will deliver you." This is a promise of freedom. You're going to be free. And then He promises redemption. "I will redeem you with an outstretched arm, with great acts of judgment." See, when God reveals His name, He reveals His name in a specific situation. It's not done in a vacuum. He reveals who He is in a situation of life. And so when Yahweh shows Himself here, He brings Himself in the situation of life of the people of Israel. And whenever we see God reveal His name, we see He brings a name that fits the situation His people are in. When God wants to make a special point about Himself, as we see in our text, He always brings it in a situation of life. God reveals Himself through the mess, the problems, and the stress and situations of life. Think with me for a moment in 1 Samuel chapter 17. David is on the battlefield. There is a 9-foot man in front of him. And Goliath says to David, "You come with me. Am I a dog that you come to me with stones and a stick?" And David speaks to the giant and says, "You come with me with sword and spear and shield, but I come to you in the name of the Lord." We see that there. There is power in the name of God. The second, we also see another example in Genesis chapter 32, when Jacob is on his way to meet his brother Esau at the river Jabbok. He meets a mysterious man in the night who wrestles with him all night. And very interestingly, God asks, or the man asks Jacob, who we know is the Lord, he says, "What is your name?" And we know all that's tied up in Jacob's name. He confesses who he is to the Lord. He says, "I am Jacob," and all the baggage that comes with that name. And what does the Lord do? He gives him a new name. Because when Jacob asks him, "What is your name?" he asks, "Why do you ask me what my name is?" Because revealed in Jacob's name, Israel is the name of God. Because he said, "You have striven with God. You have striven with God." And so we see God meets Jacob, gives him a new name, and reveals himself to Jacob. Because every time that Jacob walked, after God touched his hip and he limped, he remembered that incident. He remembered that he could not do it in his own strength. He was afraid of his brother, and now he could not run away because the Lord had crippled him. The Lord made Jacob depend on Him. And so we see that God is faithful. He comes and reveals Himself to us in the mess and problems and situations of life. And so what should our response be to all of this? Well, it should be one of trust and dependence. We're reminded in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 10, that the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous man runs in and is safe. And then the back part of Psalm 111, verse 9, he says, "Awesome, holy and awesome is His name." See, God has a name for every situation that you're in. There is a name and character of God to fit the situation that you are facing. Our response should be that of faith and hope in God, no matter the situation. I don't know what you're facing today, but I do know this, that God has a situation for everything that we face. Regardless of what the situation is right now, don't focus on the burning bush, but focus on the God who wants to reveal Himself through the burning bush. Because many times all we tend to see is the problem that is in front of us. We know the story of Abraham. God told Abraham to go and sacrifice his son, his only son. A very confusing situation, a situation that did not make any sense. But on that mountain, that day, we see that God revealed Himself to Abraham in a way Abraham never forgot. Abraham saw Jehovah Jireh, the God who provides. God meets us in the stuff and situations of life. We are to find our rest and our refuge in Him. We are to put our hope and our faith in Him. We are to find in God our refuge. We are to rest in His unchangeable, self-existent, and eternal characteristics. We are not to focus on our circumstances, but we are to put our focus on the character of God who has revealed Himself to us and who sees our afflictions, who hears our cries and knows our sufferings. He is unchangeable. He is eternal. He is self-existent. We are to trust in Him. We are to trust His character, even when we don't know why we're going through what we're going through. This is what we see over and over again in the Scriptures. God says that I am the Lord. You are to trust in Me. You are to come aside and trust in Me. But also, we are to give Him adoration and affection. And I want to close by reading again the words from Psalm 8. The psalmist says, O Jehovah, our Adonai, how majestic is Your name in all the earth. You have set Your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babies and infants You have established strength because of Your foes, to still the enemy and the avenger. When I look at Your heavens, the work of Your fingers, the moon and the stars which You have set in place, what is man that You are mindful of him, and the son of man that You care for him? You have made Him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned Him with glory and honor. You have given Him dominion over the works of Your hands. You have put all things under His feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the heavens and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the sea. O Jehovah, our Adonai, how majestic is Your name in all the earth. Amen. Let us turn to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for this great reminder of who You are. Yahweh, Jehovah, the unchangeable God, the eternal God, the self-existent God, the God who Moses asked, show me Your glory. The God who said, the Lord, full of mercy and compassion. Oh, dear Lord, we pray and ask that You would help us remember who You are. That You are a God who has compassion, a God who sees our suffering, who sees and hears our pain and our cries, but also a God who is faithful. He's faithful to His word. He's faithful to deliver us as He has promised, if only we would put our trust in Him. Oh, dear Lord, I pray that You would speak to us and continue to speak to us through Your word, and continue to show us Your love. And we thank You for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Emmanuel, God with us, one who knows what it is to be human, to go through all the pain and suffering of life. We thank You that we have a great high priest who has been tempted in every way, such as we are, but without sin. He can sympathize and empathize with us. We pray and ask, dear Lord, that we may always remember this, that You are a God who is not far removed from us, but who is there with us. We also pray and ask, dear Lord, that You may be with us this evening as we part one from the other. Please keep us safe as we go out to our homes, and please be with us this week. For we ask this in the name of Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.